this is your Polycast for Thursday, February 23rd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Tom Emmer holds a town hall. Republicans want to increase penalties for protesters who shut down freeways, and the vote for the head of the DNC comes this weekend. In central Minnesota last night, about 1,000 people came to Sartell to speak with and hear from Congressman Tom Emmer. Of the three Republicans in Minnesota's delegation, Emmer is the only one to hold an in-person town hall meeting since President Trump took office. Elsewhere in the country, some of Emmer's Republican colleagues have faced vocal protests at such gatherings. But as Matt Sepik reports, the crowd in Sartell was peaceful and generally polite.
People started queuing up 3 hours or more before the meeting started, hoping to get a seat in the small city council chamber. Anticipating anti-Trump protesters, 77-year-old Benny Benish of Sartell came with a Trump campaign sign. Benish said he didn't really have any questions for Emmer. He just wanted to show his support for the president.
Our country has gone downhill. It's been handled by people that's been in the government for 40 years and all this year. Nothing changes except for getting worse. Let's get somebody in there who's going to change something. That's what I'm hoping for.
Trump trounced Hillary Clinton by 26 points in Emmer's district, but Benish was in the minority in this crowd. Many carried signs demanding Congress keep the Affordable Care Act, take action on climate change, and investigate the president's alleged ties to Russia. Quite a few people wore stickers showing their zip codes to head off accusations that they came from outside the district. Aside from the hundreds of people out in the parking lot who occasionally broke into protest chants, there were no tense situations. Emmer got things rolling at 7 p.m. sharp.
To see this kind of a turnout is wonderful. I work for you, so I'm here. I want to have a dialogue. I want to have a conversation. I want to answer whatever questions you guys have.
Many of those questions focused on Trump. A St. Cloud woman asked Emmer what he would do if the president were found to have run afoul of the Constitution's Emoluments Clause. Some ethics lawyers say that 200-year-old language prohibits Trump from taking money from a foreign state.
Would you support impeachment if the president is in violation of the Constitution?
If a president has committed a misdemeanor or high crimes, whatever the language is in the law, I would be supportive of something like that.
Others had more personal concerns. Haji Yusuf, a Somali-American community activist from St. Cloud, told Emmer he quit the Republican Party because of Trump's anti-Muslim rhetoric.
We are in no way dangerous to this country. We love this country, we serve this country, and it's about time that you, as my congressman, you equally represent me, that you went back to Washington and let the president know that. Thank you very much.
Everyone in this country deserves to be safe, right? Everyone in this country deserves to be able to live to their full potential and practice their faith. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
We have a common interest, and I look forward to working with you over the next couple of years.
Others asked about Trump's plans for immigration enforcement and demanded public investigations into Russia's influence on the election. Healthcare was another big concern. Sue O'Hara of Sartell suffers from an incurable but treatable blood cancer, and urged Emmer to reconsider repealing the Affordable Care Act.
My life is in your hands. The Affordable Care Act is broken, but people on the Affordable Care Act are here today because of the Affordable Care Act.
I don't care who created it. It's time to stop pointing fingers. It doesn't matter. The people who voted for that and tried to create it had the best interests of the people they were trying to serve in mind. We've got to somehow get past the fact that it's us and them. It's we. It's not working, which I appreciate when you say, you know, it's broken.
While there were occasional interruptions during the highly spirited hour-long discussion, no protests erupted inside the room and no one was shouted down. After the meeting wrapped up, Vicky Morgan of Annandale, a climate change activist, said Emmer skirted some questions, but she was grateful that the gathering was polite.
It was a reasonable presentation, both by Emmer and his staff, and people in the audience were civil. I think civil discourse is something that's sadly lacking these days, and I was thrilled about that.
Emmer, who on Tuesday threatened to shut down the meeting if things got nasty, says he's planning more town halls, though possibly in slightly larger venues. Covering politics, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Sartell.
Republican state lawmakers are trying to increase criminal penalties to stop protesters from blocking highways. Minnesota House and Senate committees advanced bills yesterday that would make obstructing highway traffic, airport access, or public transit a gross misdemeanor, requiring jail time. The bills are now ready for floor votes in both the House and Senate. Tim Pugmire has more.
In the past year, demonstrators have snarled Twin Cities traffic during several protests over police shootings. Protests related to employee wages and the results of the presidential election have also blocked traffic. Republican Representative Nick Zerwas of Elk River said some people wrongly believe that they have a right to shut down freeways. Zerwas said his bill simply increases the penalty for something that is already illegal.
It's clear that this current misdemeanor does not deter, and I do not believe the penalty is enough of a punishment for closing a freeway. That is why I'm bringing this bill forward. If you block a freeway, you should go to jail.
During a House Public Safety Committee hearing, Republican Representative Kathy Lohmer of Stillwater said tougher penalties would help reduce the public safety risk of freeway protests.
We would like to do all we can to discourage people from protesting on these specific areas.
But opponents say the bill goes too far. DFL Representative Jamie Becker Finn of Roseville said she's not convinced the change would deter people who are protesting against racial injustice.
Until we address the underlying injustice, we're going to continue to have dissent. And so instead of trying to further stifle dissent by increasing penalties, this bill is basically going to do the opposite as far as addressing those injustices.
Kay Smith of St. Paul, whose husband was killed in a police shooting last year, told lawmakers that the bills would limit First Amendment rights.
Blocking the freeway may be an inconvenience, but police killing people is far worse and is an inconvenience in our life, too.
The debate was similar in the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. Republican Senator Bill Ingebrigtsen of Alexandria also stressed the dangers of freeway protests.
Not only do we want to prevent a tragedy on the roadways where someone could be injured or killed, we also have to have access to law enforcement, emergency medical services, and hospitals. It's extremely important for the good of all Minnesotans.
John Thompson of the groups Fight for Justice and Black Lives Matter St. Paul told lawmakers that they don't understand why people protest.
What's going to stop people from protesting is people like you coming outside, finding out what it is you can do to help the people that are mourning, that have a problem with the injustice that is being served to us on a dish.
Last month, opponents packed a House hearing to push back loudly against a separate bill, also sponsored by Representative Zerwas, that would charge demonstrators for the law enforcement costs of protests. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Republican Warren Limmer of Maple Grove said his committee will not take up that issue this session. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Democrats from around the country are gathering in Atlanta this week to elect a new national party chair. And Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison is a top contender. Brian Baxt has a preview.
After 8 years of President Barack Obama as the clear face and main messenger of the Democratic Party, there's a void at the top. And after an election that shut Democrats out of power in Washington, there are lots of questions about the party's philosophy and strategy in the era of President Donald Trump. That's the backdrop for a crowded Democratic National Committee chairman's race that reaches its conclusion at a downtown Atlanta hotel this weekend. David Hamrick is a Democratic strategist closely watching the contest, but not involved in it. He says the stakes are high.
Without holding the White House and but with being in the minority in both houses of Congress, the DNC chair plays a bigger role than they might play in other situations, you know, where you have their party controlling the levers of power, and they're going to be a very visible voice for the opposition in this country.
Six-term Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison and former Obama administration Labor Secretary Tom Perez are seen as the main rivals, but they're not the only candidates. There are state party executives from South Carolina and Idaho in the running, as well as a Rust Belt mayor, a Fox News commentator, and a couple others. The decision will be made by 447 voting delegates. It takes a simple majority to win, and multiple ballots are expected. Ellison declined repeated interview requests from NPR News. He's locked down Minnesota's 8 votes, so he's been on the road, a lot, searching out support from Democratic strongholds like California and even in reliably Republican states like Wyoming. And he's appeared on shows with big left-of-center audiences.
Please welcome Congressman Keith Ellison.
On Comedy Central's Daily Show recently, Ellison cast himself as a fighter for the working class and said it's time for his party to show some backbone.
But we can't just hope that we get a fumble from Trump. I mean, we've got to have a plan, and we've got to be out there swinging.
While the Democratic Party has struggled up and down the ballot, Ellison has had little trouble in a district centered in Minneapolis. He won it with about 70% of the vote last fall. Ellison says he'll give up that seat if elected DNC chairman. Minnesota DFL Party Chairman Ken Martin is supporting Ellison's run. He says Ellison has a track record of working to push up turnout across Minnesota.
And that's the type of work in a very tenacious way that you need as a DNC chair, someone who's not afraid to sort of go into the lion's den, to go into, you know, red areas and sort of get people mobilized and energized and excited about our party and our values. And I've seen Keith do that, and he's been just as well received in rural parts of this state as he has been in the suburbs and in the urban core.
Sandra Lowe is a voting delegate from California. She says Ellison was a hit when he came by after announcing his campaign in November.
Everything he had to say got people jumping and clapping and cheering.
Lowe was sold. She says it's just what her party needs right about now.
Campaigns are not, you know, won by somebody managing. They're won by people connecting with voters, and that makes a big difference.
Perez is also known for his rapport, especially in one-on-one interactions. Texas Democratic Party Chairman Gilberto Hinojosa knows both Ellison and Perez well. Hinojosa is siding with Perez in this race.
I will never say anything bad about any Democrat, so there was nothing about Keith that pushed me towards Tom. I know Tom, and I see his ability to do things.
He describes Perez, a Harvard-educated civil rights lawyer, as someone who chose public service over cashing in, and someone who has repeatedly come through for people straying from the party.
He can speak to these issues directly because he gets them, and he's so damn smart that he can figure out how we can articulate our message and fight for these issues for those blue-collar workers that somehow felt that the Democratic Party was not with them anymore.
Nonetheless, Hinojosa says Ellison has a strong following in the Texas delegation, one of the biggest. That's in part because of Ellison's backing from key labor unions. Ellison learned Saturday if his courtship within the party has paid off. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxter for Minnesota Public Radio News in Atlanta.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.